Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participant lines are in a listen-only mode. After today's presentation, we will have the opportunity to ask questions, and at that time, you may press star, then one on your phone's keypad to ask a question in conference. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections to this, you may disconnect at any time. And now I would like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Joe Caracillo. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our fourth quarter sales acceleration call for North America today. This is the fourth in a series of five calls. The focus on today's call is going to be on security-related topics, specifically on our threat management or security line of offerings. So the deck for this call was posted. Hopefully all of you had a chance to download it. If for some reason you've missed it, please let one of us know. And well, you can send an email to me. My ID is jjc@us.ibm.com. And in a moment or two from now, when I turn it over to our next speaker, I'll respond and send you the deck. So hopefully everyone has it by now. So if you look at the first page, you'll notice that I've put the tactic code for this sales acceleration play. So please do note this tactic code when you're registering opportunities for the balance of this quarter related to our threat management solutions. So before we get into the charts, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the call over to Mike Madsen, who has a few words for us. Mike?
Great. Thanks, Joe. Hey, I appreciate everybody making the time today to listen about this particular security offering and how we can better have, you know, value discussions with our customer set. And I have to say, over the last 2 weeks, I have made more sales calls on our holistic security solution than I have any other pillar. And it is great for me to see, as someone that's been around Tivoli since 1997, because our security message has really come together. And it is great to see customers really, you know, believing in our ability to assess, mitigate, and manage that infrastructure. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this call today and ask you that you're really, after this, you know, hour investment in your time, spend some time this week prospecting. Because if you're not having these discussions with your customers, you may be missing the boat. And there's a ton of turmoil in the market, especially around the converged infrastructure between Sun Identity Management and Oracle. So a lot of our customers are looking at changes, and we need to make sure that we're at the tip of their tongue from a holistic security approach that we can satisfy any of their identity, access, and intrusion mitigation needs. So I'll turn it over to Dinesh Yadav.
Thanks, Mike. At the outset, I'd like to first of all thank all the ESSR for the effort in driving security business in third quarter. And I'm happy to announce that security was number one pillar in Americas in third quarter. We did 133% of our plan with a 84% year-to-year growth on heritage security products. What does that mean? As Mike said, there is a demand in the market. Your customers are having security challenges. They've got budget. They're spending. And we have industry-leading solutions to meet those requirements. So if, as an ESSR, you are not working on security opportunities in your patch, you are missing on that opportunity and you're giving away that business to competition. And one of the areas, if I look at security portfolio, definitely heritage products, as I said, they're growing very fast. We had a very good year-to-year growth. Whereas on the ISS product side, we did make plan, but it was a little bit below our expectations. So I looked at the number of ESSRs, their pipeline around ISS products, and what we saw is that we got about 20 ESSRs without no ISS pipeline in fourth quarter, whereas there are about 80 ESSRs without any ISS opportunities in their pipeline for the first quarter 2011. And you'll appreciate we got more than 400 ESSRs in the field, and there are about 30 ISS reps. So they cannot scale to all and each and every customer out there. And that's where we'll need your help as an ESSR to go to your customers, look for these, identify these opportunities, and we'll bring whatever help you need to drive that business. And in today's call, that's why we are focusing on ISS security solutions. And instead of going through products, and we already done a lot of these Tivoli talks around the product portfolio, what I'd like to do today is we have invited two of your ISS sellers, and they'll be taking you through the lessons learned, the sales cycles they followed during a typical sales cycle, challenges they saw, and how they overcame those challenges, and some of the lessons learned that you can leverage and use in the field as you go and talk to your customers about these solutions. So with that, I'll hand over a call to Joe for following up the call further.
Thank you, Dinesh. So everyone, at this point, if you would turn to the deck, we're going to go through the deck now at this point. And as Dinesh mentioned, you're not going to find chart after chart of product, feature, function, or specifics in this deck. The format, as Dinesh pointed out, is I'm just going to spend 5 minutes now going through summarizing what is the opportunity that we all have in this space for our threat mitigation solutions. I'm going to focus on what are some of the things you should listen for in talking to your customers to try to identify opportunities, some questions you can use with them as conversation starters. I'll then spend just a minute, maybe 2 minutes at most, reviewing or reminding you of what the solution set is. And then I'll turn the call over to first of the two ISS-focused reps that Dinesh mentioned, George Love. He's going to take us through a review of a scenario involving a virtualization, potentially cloud-based environment. Then Dave Nagel is going to take us through his experience in successfully selling large intrusion prevention solutions into his customer set. Then I'll get the call back for just a couple minutes. I want to remind you of the focused sales tactics that we have in place in the fourth quarter to help you with closing business in this space. There is a very aggressive set of tactics that we put in place to make it competitive for winning business from third parties. Well, I'll just go through them when I get there. And then we'll wind up with Q&A. So if you look at chart two, you'll see it talks about the evolving threat landscape. So the point here is that there is just a tremendous amount of opportunity still for us in this space with our customers. Granted, many customers have made some investments of some kind in threat mitigation, intrusion detection, intrusion prevention, but still we've, you know, barely, scratched the surface of the opportunity in this space, not only from the perspective of upgrade opportunity for our existing customers, competitive takeouts, where our solutions have been proven better by independent analysis, and then also there are still a large number of customers that are just beginning to realize how important this space is and what risks they face. So, you know, the point on this chart really is there's two of them. One is that although threats continue to evolve over time and over the last few years, recently they've really reached a high level of maturity, and so this is an issue for your customers. One of the things that we found is that for hackers and criminal organizations that are trying to actually make money out of this, rather than continuing to look for new problems, what we're finding is that they're taking what were old issues that people thought was historical and no longer need to worry about, and they're consolidating these together in new attack vectors. And so, and the other point is that these nefarious enterprises and hackers are recognizing that although there's a lot of focus by some customers on what are known threats, what people don't always have their eye on the ball on are what is described here as slow and low attack vectors. So coming into the enterprise in a way that might not necessarily ring the bells if you don't have the right solutions in place, thereby once you get your foot in the door, you can expand the control. So still big issue for our customers, and again, we've got a comprehensive set of solutions to address these issues. So if you move on to page three, what we've done is I've identified six or seven conversation starters for you. So again, the idea of this is to help you identify where are these opportunities. So you can see, they revolve around different things. Like the first two or three have to do with, do they believe they might have an issue in this space with network security threat mitigation. First one talks about, has your network recently experienced an unexplained slowdown, or have you been hacked, and do you in fact have the facilities in place to notice that you have? And these in some ways can be somewhat tied together. One common reason that customers' networks all of a sudden see a big performance drop-off is because they have been penetrated. And in many cases, customers don't have the right technology in place to be able to tell that they have been penetrated. A good example is last year, we were called into a customer where their goal was for IBM to come in and help them understand what it would cost to double the throughput capacity on the network. And when we did an analysis of what that throughput requirement might be and what their issues were, what we found was that over 50% of their network capacity was being stolen, hijacked by rogue and unauthorized applications that had been injected through their defenses and installed on their servers, and third-party organizations, nefarious ones, were running resources or running applications on their servers. So a couple things there. The next couple set of questions here really revolve around two things. If you look at the last two here. So one is, have you seen the NSS test findings on IPS? This is something that I want to definitely bring to your attention. NSS is an independent test lab that, unlike a Gartner or a Forrester that essentially does their analysis by interviewing customers and getting their opinion, NSS actually goes off, acquires vendor products, puts them in their own lab, and does independent evaluations comparing product to product. And I'm very obviously pleased to point out that NSS has rated IBM IPS, Intrusion Prevention Solutions, the best ROI on the market. So when you take into account their cost, the function they provide, the throughput they can support, that we have the best product on the market today. And the last point, hopefully all of you know, because this is something that came out early in the year, was that SC Magazine rated IBM as the number one security company in the world for the breadth of our offerings. So certainly got the most comprehensive set of solutions, especially in this space. So if we look at the next page, 5.4, this essentially is the portfolio. These are the set of solutions that we have to offer. And again, I won't spend a lot of time on this because George and David are going to specifically go through two of these and tell us all about what it was the customer really needed, why our solution addressed their particular need, how they decided it was the best solution on the market, the best ROI for them, and why they were able to close the deal. But really quick, just to see the breadth of everything, we have our main IPS solutions, the things, the top boxes, which are called the GX boxes, which are the edge of the network primarily, type devices, or so they're used to protect from threats from the outside world in. They're also used to manage in traffic within the enterprise, so moving from domain A and domain B in the same enterprise. The next set of appliances there are what we describe as unified threat management. These are multifunction solutions, not just IPS, but also anti-malware, anti-spam, anti-virus, VPN level function, and these are typically targeted to enterprises that have lots of physical separate infrastructures. One of our largest customers, I think the largest customer to date on this solution, was a large U.S. grocery store chain, Food Lion. Over 1,300 of these devices, one in every store. The next couple devices or solutions are software-focused. You can't just protect at the edge of the network. You also have to protect on each production server. And that's what these solutions are designed to do. Again, George is going to talk about our virtual security protection in a moment. And last on this chart, what ties all of our solutions together, what separates us from the competition in the breadth of our ability to be able to manage this environment or these technologies effectively, is our security management portal, which is called Site Protector. This is essentially the administrative GUI that ties all the solutions together. So with that as the background, I'm going to turn it over to George, and we'll look at our first case study.
Thank you, Joe. This is George Love. I'm a sales rep in the Philadelphia area, and what I want to talk about is a case study of one of my customers. I guess we'll move on to slide six. The customer, it's a university health system based here in Philadelphia, and the project they were working on was they're rolling out a new VM server farm. Basically, they were taking, at the time, was 187 different servers and consolidating them into 15 VM servers. They also, as part of this, were doing some major data center consolidation and moving as well. But, you know, along with the significant operational advantages that they saw by moving to VMware, their CISO had some major concerns from a security perspective around the compounded risk of adding multiple servers on one box. His concern really is if one of the servers gets compromised, it's not just that server, but potentially, you know, there could be 30 other VM servers running on the same box that also could be compromised. So he you know, had some very serious concerns from a security perspective. Now, the customer is an existing ISS customer, both at the university and at the health system. They were using our preventing network IPS. They're actually using the network IPS on the Crossbeam, which is a 10-gig solution that that they put in about 2 years ago. And they also are using some of our enterprise scanner, which is our vulnerability scanning engine. Now, both entities were completely separate. The university is completely separate from the health system. They have their own CIO, their own CISO. However, the university is actually running the network for both the university and for the health center. So, going to a little bit about the sales cycle. The lead was originally uncovered back in April, and actually Chris Teefy, who was the Tivoli rep, and Val Orman, who was the CSSR, were in talking, meeting with the CISO to discuss ESSO, and he mentioned the server consolidation VM project, and you know, they saw the opportunity, so they gave me a call and said there may be an opportunity for VSP. So we immediately went in and set up a meeting with the CIO and the CISO, and to discuss the project, as well as they gave us the opportunity then to present the VSP solution. The meeting went very well. Out of that meeting, the CIO basically gave us the agreement to move forward with the POC and then get back to him with the results. Due to a lot of other projects going on, the POC did get delayed throughout most of the summer due to the data center moves and some other priorities. But we did finally, mid-August, we were able to get the POC scheduled. So we went in mid-August, working with Robert Guyverson, one of our local SE. We got things set up. We ran for about, you know, 3 weeks or so into September with the POC. It was very successful. The outcome of that was that the CISO made the recommendation to the CIO to move forward with the VSP product. We thought we were in good shape, but then we ran into a few challenges. Sorry, switch to the next slide. So I'm on slide eight here. We did run into a few challenges, though, once we were trying to move forward at that point. First of all, right at the end of the POC, VM had introduced a new release, 4.1 of VMware. Had a lot of functionality that made good sense for the university and their implementations. They came back to us and said that they were definitely going to roll out directly onto VM 4.1, which unfortunately we did not yet support. However, we will be supporting that in the November timeframe. So from the timing, we were able to get around that challenge.
Yeah, and actually, George, sort of interrupt, but we released that function on Tuesday next week.
Okay. Perfect. From a the other one, another challenge, Site Protector, it does require the latest release of Site Protector version 8, which they currently were not running. They were still running on 7. So another challenge, they need to go back to the university and get them to upgrade to Site Protector 8, which we are working with them to get that addressed as well. And finally, the CIO came back to us then and said he wanted us to come back in and effectively revalidate the findings and effectively resell him on why they need VSP. So we went back and had again, it was a very successful meeting. And basically what we discussed really was how VSP will allow them to securely move more applications to VM. In their environment, there's significant operational advantages to moving to VM, and there's a lot of additional applications they'd like to move there, but they've had a lot of concerns, particularly in the healthcare around. There's a lot of FDA-controlled applications that they really can't touch, and many of those were unable to go to VM just because there was no way to patch systems. However, with VSP, it gives them some functionality that they can move, and they foresee moving many more applications over to the VM environment over the next year or two. So the outcome of that was very favorable. The CIO basically gave us the nod and to move forward. So looking back at some of the capabilities that moving on to the next slide. Some of the capabilities that really helped drive this deal and why we won. Automatic discovery was key. What the VSP allows them to do is basically will go out and do discovery of all VMs that are running in the environment. Because of the nature of VM, servers can be moving from box to box. Traditional security tools won't do a good job of identifying and discovering everything. So VSPX does that well, which was very advantageous from the CISO's perspective. The other key that's really, really important is the intra-VM traffic control. What that allows us to do is protect the traffic from VM to VM. Again, traditional IPS, network IPS, will not work inside the inside the VM boxes, so we address that. And the last thing that's also critical is the virtual network access control. What this does is it will provide the prevent rogue VMs being created by the operations folks. What it will do is it will quarantine if they try to add a new VM to the system. It effectively will quarantine that until the new servers are able to be verified and checked and that their security posture is confirmed before they are, released onto the virtual network. And finally, the last piece that really was important to them was to tie into Site Protector. Because they're already using Site Protector for their network IPS as well as the vulnerability scanning, having the events and the data correlation from the VM data as well is extremely valuable to them. So just to wrap things up, basically the results here, we ended up with 19 VSP licenses. The net software piece on that was about $67K, and we certainly see the potential for a lot more growth. Some of the additional potential we see, the university has been watching pretty closely what we're doing here, and they actually have similar VSP or similar VM implementations going on, and there's a very good opportunity for us to leverage this into the university, as well as there's, in this area particularly, there's a number of different university-type health systems, and they all have the same type of problems and working on similar initiatives. So we're hoping to get a lot of leverage out of this. So that kind of wraps things up on the VSP. What I'd like to do now is turn it over to David Nagel, who's going to talk about a network IPS situation with one of his customers. David?
Thanks, George. This is Dave Nagel. I work within the ISS brand, as discussed. Just want to take a minute and say how and that we are, or we did, or we do now fall into Tivoli from a software perspective. As of earlier this year, that was such a good idea from an IBM perspective. We can move to slide 12. From a customer background perspective, the customer, the Department of Justice, is comprised of 43 components, and this is one of the larger components within the department, and it's the Executive Office of U.S. Attorneys. This is a very difficult customer because they span across the country, and they deal mainly with case information for all the federal cases that you see in the news or the ones you don't see in the news. They handle all the data, the traffic, the paperwork that are handled in the federal cases. So it's been a customer. It was a legacy customer of ISS, and it's a software customer and a hardware customer. But their hardware, when I say hardware, I just mean our Prevenia IPS or the IBM Security Intrusion Prevention or Intrusion Detection devices. They fall within the software brand, but they actually are hardware. They run on an appliance. They had some of those. And they've been evaluating other vendors over the last 18 months to 2 years to see or get an idea of whether they wanted to make a significant investment in one solution or one vendor, or if they wanted to look at other vendors. So as a part of this engagement, we've been working with the Chief Information Security Officer and some of his IT directors to help them feel comfortable with our solution. And their main concerns were around the security, the overall effectiveness of the IPS. And so earlier there was discussion around the NSS report that happened in late 2009, and that was a big data point for our particular customer here, because it gave them a good data point to look at how the other IPS solutions compared to us, because they don't have the resources to be able to buy each of them. They did evaluate us versus another competitor. So if we move to slide 13, the sales cycle was very intense. The government fiscal year ends on September 30th. So the customer last year, we got very we rolled our sleeves up to get this deal done. But because of the multitude of reasons, we weren't able to lock it down in September of last year. So basically, since that time, my manager, who's excellent, has been working with me at the CISO's boss's level to continue the process of getting the customer comfortable with our solution. So we've had multiple conversations since September of 2009. And as we move into slide 14, we're going to see the challenges were around the rest of the department, not the rest, but a majority of the other components were using a competitor of ours called SourceFire. And the main reason they were using that is because there's a federal system integrator that makes a lot of money by charging hours to be able to tune policy or tune signatures. So we still are working with that, with the government, to help them understand that there's a lot of money that they could be saving with a total cost of ownership study of our solution versus SourceFire. So there's definitely a return on investment that's much more significant with the IBM product. And so we were able to convince our customer that at this particular component within the U.S. Attorney's Office, that they don't have the bandwidth to have 100 people working on policy, and they trust the effectiveness of our research organization, which is called X-Force. So, just a minute on X-Force. X-Force is, in my opinion, the primary reason why we're successful in the federal space from a network IPS perspective. The team that comprises X-Force is first class, and it resonates with our customers because they are doing vulnerability research that directly relates to customers' networks being protected. So, just X-Force is fantastic. Now, the market survey that this customer conducted since September of 2009 started in the first quarter of this calendar year, where they looked at us versus a McAfee, which is one of our network IPS competitors, and a SourceFire, which is another one. And they basically, put it side by side, and they looked at, there were pluses across the board, but they liked the reason that they liked our solution was tied to the effectiveness of our vulnerability research and our vulnerability decodes in our solutions. and it would allow them not to have a person sitting behind every device doing signature work or custom signature pattern matching. And again, the value, one of the challenges that they had was the value of the solution. They needed to have a good argument on the return of the investment that they were going to be making. So going to the next slide, which is slide 15, the drivers, they loved the fact that our device was effective, again, at looking, not only looking at the data across their network IPS, but also reporting it into Site Protector, which is our management console. And it allowed for them to get a flavor of being able to manage multiple devices, both hardware and software. So even the legacy software, or to George's point on the virtual server protection, they can manage, you know, hardware, software, virtual devices through Site Protector, and that allows for them to maximize, again, their investment. So, and then the final driver was this customer, as every customer, you know, they have limited funding. So as you can see, return on investment was heavy here because the customer just kept bringing it up as a part of the discussion time and time again. So we got pretty good at being able to answer those questions. And then on slide 16, it just gives you an idea of this customer was a tough one to help to gain the commitment at the executive levels. But as we worked with the customer and the government, it really helped for us to nail down a configuration that would work for them. So we successfully were able to sell to the customer multiple units, as you can see from slide 16. For a little over $1 million, and so now it's the customer is going to be using our device, and it's a big win because it'll be a port in the storm for the rest of the department and for other government agencies who are using some of our competitors. So, you know, it's from a Tivoli ESR perspective, the Tivoli ESR played a role here on this account. Veronica was very helpful to also give us access to those executives, so it was definitely an IBM team win. And you know, as most of you know, once you win, you got to continue to work with the customer to make them feel comfortable as they deploy these devices. But this is my section, and I'm complete, and I'll pass it back to Chris.
Actually, it's to Joe. Thanks.
I'm sorry.
Thank you both, George and David. I think the little summaries you gave us of the opportunities you had both in virtual network security and network-level IPS were very informative. Hopefully what it pointed out to everyone on the call is the types of solutions that we can bring to our customers, how, again, we have solutions that directly address the real pain point that our customers have today. And, you know, again, the idea for going through these wasn't to make all of you on the phone network or threat management experts at selling. What we really want you to understand in this call today, and then I'll help with some points in a moment as I close it up, is we want you to understand what are the types of solutions that we have to help with our customers' needs. The main thing we're looking for you as our ESRs to help us with is with opportunity identification. Excuse me. As Dinesh pointed out, there are only so many skilled network threat management sellers that can operate at the level that George and David do. We don't expect all of you to grow that skill from this call or any other set of calls, but we do believe that you can easily understand what are the types of solutions that we have that can address needs and issues that your customers have, and you know, so that you can go ahead and identify those and then bring on board the proper resources to progress and close the deal. Some of the specialty reps, the Tiger team, on and on. So let's move on to slide 17 to wind up. I have just a couple of charts here to finish. So I mentioned at the beginning that we have an aggressive set of sales tactics, or you might think of them as focused sales plays, for you and for all sellers here in the fourth quarter, focused just on this space, okay? And we'll look at what they are on the next page. But what I wanted to do was, again, summarize. The idea here is to be able to help all of us fend off threats from the competition. The second point is to motivate our existing customers to refresh and upgrade the devices that they have that are now reaching end of life. Be able to demonstrate to our customers that we've got the most attractive total cost of ownership for customers that have very high throughput requirements. This is what 10 gigabytes is all about. It's the high end of throughput requirements. That we're looking to aggressively go back and steal business from our competition, right? And that the other thing to point out is that unlike maybe what your experience is with some of the other products in Tivoli, we have a very broad set of business partners that came to us along with this portfolio when all of this came from GTS. So do recognize that we've got a broad set of partners that know these products in and out, have experience with them that can help us with deal progression, deal closure, and more importantly, service after the deal. So if you move on to slide 18, what you see here is I've summarized what these four plays are. So again, the first one is defend our turf and win more business. And you can see how aggressive it is. We're offering up to 70% discount off product list price and up to 45% off maintenance list price. So very aggressive there. Number two, a refresh loyalty program. This is for our existing customers. Again, the opportunity to get 65% off list price for products, 45% for maintenance, if they agree to upgrade to the current device to replace their older ones going out of service. The third one has to do with, again, being able to support the higher throughput or higher bandwidth needs of our customers. Again, very aggressive pricing on some of the largest devices that we offer today, the ones that have the highest throughput. And then the last one here is a very focused competitive takeout program, and that is we're willing to offer up to 50% off list price on product and 40% on maintenance just if the customer is willing to take out their existing McAfee, SourceFire, Tipping Point, you know, whatever they might have been, whatever the competition was, and put our product in place. So to wind up, let's look at chart 19, our call to action. So the requirement, the call to action from Mike and from Dinesh and from all of us is that we're asking you to identify one new ISS or network threat management focused opportunity in your account in the next 30 days. So this is something that I'm sure all of you can easily do if you spend just a little bit of time thinking about the messages we've brought to you today, thinking about the customers you have, think back to those conversation starters, opening comments, things to listen for that I talked about earlier, and I'm sure you'll be very successful. So second point here, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is the fourth of five calls that we have to help you with fourth quarter sales acceleration. You can see that we have one more, which is on Enterprise Asset Management, Maximo. That's next week, that's on the 11th, 10 days from now. And I strongly encourage you to take the time and attend that one also. But remember, if you didn't have a chance to attend any of these, please do realize that these are all available for replay. If you put this chart in presentation mode, what's underlined and highlighted here is a link that will take you to the archive site for replay materials. And finally, as Dinesh said, please just take some time out of your day over the next week or so to spend some time prospecting with what hopefully you've learned today about this solution set and how it can be valuable to our customers. Now, I won't go through any other charts, but there are another 19 charts in this deck that I will refer to you to look at your convenience. The next two or three cover where you can get collateral on these offerings, so there are links to our sales kits for all these products, pointing out where they are and how to get access to them. Then the next set of charts go through and talk about what are the steps to actually create an opportunity using this tactic code in Siebel, if you're not familiar with how to do that. So with that, I think I'd like
to... So, uh, jo- Joe, just a minute. Just to add, you know, to help you prospect, what we have done is we have posted, this is for IBM internal people, we have posted a list of all existing ISS customers as we, Joe took you through all these sales plays for fourth quarter. So you can get, you can see that list of existing ISS customers. Also, we have posted a list of non-ISS customers, customers without any ISS products. And third list that we have took out, as you understand, this ISS is a very, very network security, network-focused play. So we have also taken out a list of all NetCool Omnibus customers. The customers who are already using one of, at least you have some strong relationships by the fact that they're already using NetCool Omnibus products. Use those relationships and start calling your contacts to identify new opportunities. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Dinesh. I was going to say, did you have any closing comments? I appreciate that. So any others before we open up for Q&A?
No, that's it. I think we should definitely open. We have some questions.
Great. So, operator, if you would open up the line, Q&A.
Certainly. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your phone's keypad. If your question has been answered, you may remove your request by pressing star, then 2. Once again, please press star 1 now if you have a question. One moment.
So,
our first question is from Alonzo Wilson. Your line is open.
Hi. Great presentation. I was curious. I heard earlier around CyberProtector. Do you need CyberProtector to use VSP, or can it be sold independently?
Yes, you do need CyberProtector for VSP.
And one I would add is that with the new release of CyberProtector being added to Passport Advantage next week, for the first time, each CyberProtector license comes with a limited license. Excuse me, each VSP license comes with a limited use license of CyberProtector. So, for example, if you have a customer that is kicking off a virtualization pilot project and they believe they'd like to make use of this technology, they don't need to buy an expensive appliance just to manage a couple of VMware instances. A couple instances of VMware. So VSP now includes limited license to CyberProtector. Obviously, as a customer gets more and more, we would encourage them to take a full license.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. Please stand by for our next question.
So while we're waiting for the next question, George, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
I had a question. Maybe you can comment. So the project you went through with the University Health System, you mentioned it was, I think, 19 licenses to start. Do you have a feel, just ballpark, of how large that might grow? I'd like to give people a perspective that that solution isn't only less than 100K deals.
Well, it probably will be growing. They'll be adding multiple VM servers moving forward. I mean, I would anticipate, a few servers per month. Actually, as it turns out, now that they actually got quite a bargain on this because of the pricing of VSP. Now it's moving to Passport Advantage, where it's going to go to a processor performance-based pricing. I think the cost would be significantly higher because the servers that they have were extremely large, powerful, the latest Nehalem chips, and they had a lot of horsepower. So it actually worked out well for them from a pricing perspective. Frankly, the VSP product really, I think, is somewhat underpriced in many cases for these large implementations.
Well, as you pointed out, with the move to Passport, we have a much more comprehensive, accounting for processor workload capability under Passport with PBUs. And so we'll recover some of that now that we're under the IBM model. Thanks, George. So, operator, any other questions while we were talking?
Yes, we do have another question from Clay Fisher. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Great presentation. My question is really centered around vulnerability assessment type work. I was with Riptech, Symantec, and really now I'm in the Tivoli General business sector. And when I was with those guys, we used to generate a lot of revenue doing security assessments. So we'd go in and do a complete assessment for a customer and really understand all their vulnerabilities at that time and then go back in and sell the software. As I understand it now, and I'm brand new with the company, so excuse me if I'm incorrect on this, but understand that that's all done through global services, and wanted to know really how we should handle that.
So, let me make a comment, then you can jump in, too. So you're correct. For the most part, the security assessment offerings are from our professional services team. And that they've got a wealth of offerings in this space. What we've found from the experience while this offering or solution set was in GTS is that often a very winning success or winning pattern is, as you pointed out, to approach the customer, get them signed up to do the assessment. Once the assessments are completed, they typically point out the strong need for this technology, and then there's a follow-up working with the getting the information about what the assessment was from the GTS team and following up with the product offering. So this is an important point. It's one I'm glad you brought up. We do want to take full advantage of all of the complementary services offerings that are available to identify pipe and progress deals from our GTS organization. So Dinesh, you have-
Yeah, Joe, I just wanted to add that definitely since you're coming from non-IBM competitor, the model in IBM is definitely our GTS team is definitely there are a lot of people who are doing these kind of security assessments.
Right.
And one area where I think we can definitely leverage very quickly is the PCI assessments. For example, the GTS team, they're doing multiple of these, thousands of these PCI assessments. And at the end of this, they create a closeout report. And what I suggest is in your customer base, based on where you're located, so we've got a Tiger team under Canned Blossom, and so we got sellers by Geo under the Tiger team. These guys, they're already working on those deals with GTS colleagues, so they'll be a very good interface to reach out to get you those closeout reports. That'll be a good opportunity to go and follow up.
Right.
Okay.
So, for example, if you need any assistance in identifying who your peers are in GTS, either to contact them about an opportunity for starting a deal with the customer with an assessment or to follow up on where you understand once it's done, then your first point of contact is to come back to your IoT lead, so Dinesh, or you can come back to me, Joe Caracello, and I'll be happy to make the connection to the PSS.
Okay. Yeah, because one of the issues I see is from coming from a company that, I initiated a lot of these assessments, is that we were able to actually generate the business. Also, we got commission, and we got paid commission on it, but also we really intimately knew the customer's security posture, and therefore we were able to go in and recommend security products that address those requirements, and that seemed to help, and it seemed a little bit of a disconnect the way things are kind of set up at this point. That was kind of the lead point of my question. So,
And again, this is Joe. I guess the point I'd make is that certainly when ISS was an independent company, it worked exactly the way you described. Post-acquisition of ISS and now the restructuring, moving the products and the software group, it was, recognized that given the size of IBM, it was most efficient to have the products and product organizations, services and services organizations, and to have our sellers work together as a team, as they do. I'm sure as you have a chance to spend more time in your new role, you'll find that can be quite effective model also.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
We have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Any final comments, Dinesh, or anyone else?
No, but I think, as I said, you know, this is definitely something where customers are investing heavily. And one of the things we have done is we, as I said, we already taken out a list, and we'll be monitoring this every end of the November. We'll do another pull by ESSRs, and definitely we'll monitor these prospecting calls to make sure we are making progress. But if you need any help, as Joe said, there are a lot of people there to come and help you with these opportunities once you identify. Key is to make sure we identify, talk to our customers, our contacts, and see, look for these kind of opportunities, whether it's virtualized or network IPS. But definitely we've got a huge team here within Tivoli to come and help and support you once you identify these opportunities.
Exactly. Right. Thanks, Vinesh. So, again, the call to action on everyone today, especially the SSRs, is to reach out and do the OI. And once you've done the OI, as Vinesh pointed out, there's a whole host of people that will help you with your progression. So once again, thanks, everyone, for the time today. And I guess that's the end, operator.
Thank you for participating on today's conference call. At this time, all parties may disconnect.